It's 12:08 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios, and it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, try not to laugh. The LA County Board of Supervisors is doing something next week called the Women of the Year Awards. And the highest honor at the LA County Board of Supervisors Women of the Year Awards is the President's Award. And this year, the President's Award at the Women of the Year Awards from the LA County Board of Supervisors is going to the fake doctor.
You got to be kidding me.
I have a hard time understanding logic.
That's her acceptance speech.
The fake doctor is the Woman of the Year?
Yeah.
And that award was given to her by the LA County Board of Supervisors, the people that she humiliates on a daily basis?
No, thank you.
That award ceremony, it takes place on May 9th. I can't wait to see if they stream it live.
How did the fake doctor beat out a transgendered woman? You know, that Board of Supervisors and the fake doctor, they really are a traveling nut show, with the fake doctor being the head cashew.
It's just a small way that shows how incredibly dysfunctional that five-seat board that governs the largest county in the nation is.
Well, who's dumber? The fake doctor who has no idea what she's doing, or the people who look at her and they see a voice of authority?
Yeah, probably them. I mean, if you can't figure out that she knows nothing, that's on you.
I wonder if Hilda Solis cried when they made the announcement.
I can't wait to see who's emceeing this event. Is it going to
be
Holly?
It's got to be Solis.
Could be.
A woman who is on the verge of tears every waking moment of the day. I think I figured out what's wrong with her.
Why she gets the sads?
Yeah, I think she has a size 10 foot and a size 9 shoe. Always looks like she's going to burst into tears. All right, we got a big show for you today. Keira Davis is going to be here as part of the Fix California Hour, our pal from Red State, who's also a candidate for school board in Orange County. And Bridget Gabriel joins us at 2 o'clock to talk a little politics. But first, over the weekend, there was L.A. mayor news, including the endorsement of the El Segundo Times.
That's right. Are you shocked? Karen Bass got the big endorsement, and in the middle of that endorsement, which I did read, was a big old shot they took at Rick Caruso, and they just mentioned the other candidates, why they're not worthy.
If you're Mike Fuhrer and Kevin DeLeon and Joe Buscaino, being completely ignored by the Times has to be more insulting than Rick Caruso being attacked.
Yeah, Mike Fuhrer and Joe Buscaino got barely any mentions. In fact, the gadfly candidates got more mentions because the LA Times says they have some good ideas.
Well, you know, I guess we shouldn't say when we look at this endorsement of Karen Bass that that's what the LA Times thinks, but we do know that's what the owner's daughter thinks.
That's right. At this point, the editorial board is completely run by one person, and that is the owner's daughter, Nico Soon Shing, who is on the West Hollywood Police Commission board.
I was reading somewhere that she doesn't even live there. How the hell can you be on a public safety commission if you don't live in a city?
You got enough money, you can do whatever you want.
That's true. And we know that she's super woke, and we know that she's super defund the police. So anything that the LA Times does or says right now, well, this man is the owner, and he's allowing his daughter to run that newspaper, even though she's not a formal employee of the LA Times. You know they're always going to go in a super woke defund the police lane.
She also may have been responsible for the other endorsement the paper put down, which is the endorsement of Rob Bonta for attorney general, because according to the LA Times editorial board, he will be a harsh defender of laws that Californians wanted, like Prop 47 and 57.
Well, we've been talking about nuts so far today. How about that lunatic they endorsed to be LA city controller?
The one with the tweets?
Oh, yeah. He makes Meth Bottom look sane.
The editorial board put out that endorsement, and the next day, the reporting side put out a hit piece on him. It was beautiful.
Well, they found all his old tweets where he was calling Joe Biden a racist and a rapist and everything else. And I thought to myself, I'm starting to like this guy. But then I read the rest of them, and it became clear to me that, yes, it's true. The man is crazy.
That guy is a defund the policer all the way and doesn't hide it.
That's very true. Also, over the weekend, there was a big L.A. mayoral debate, and Randy, you went through all the sound.
That's right. I didn't even know this was happening, but it aired last night at like 5:30 at night on a Sunday on Channel 7. It was hosted by Mark Brown of ABC 7 News, and a panel of people asking questions, including someone from Channel 7 and someone from Telemundo, and you had Joe Buscaino, Kevin De Leon, Mike Fuhrer, Karen Bass, and Rick Caruso. Now, before the debate even started, there was a bit of a scuffle because the Gadfly candidates were protesting their voter suppression of them not being allowed on the stage because they're nobodies. And apparently, one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, who's a teacher at the place this debate happened, Cal State LA, was ejected because she didn't have a ticket. And then claims it was a forceful arrest, even though she didn't have a ticket and was likely going there to agitate Karen Bass.
Now, here's the thing about the requirements that various news organizations set to participate in one of these debates. The Gadfly candidates, while very entertaining and frequently off their rocker, would add a lot of entertainment value to the broadcast. They'll also fill up the stage. And if you have 912 people on stage, as we saw in the Democratic primary last time around for president, the viewers get nothing out of it.
Except Marianne Williamson Gold.
Oh, Marianne Williamson made it all worthwhile.
But it was really hard to tell apart the 20 candidates on the stage over two nights.
That's right. So if you're not raising any money and you're not getting any endorsements and you're not doing things that candidates typically do, like buying advertisements, doing interviews, those sorts of things, then I understand why they don't invite these people to the debates. That being said, one of the lunatics who's running for mayor did an interview with Alex Michelson, and she is significantly farther to the left than all of the candidates who are allowed on stage. I think she really would have spiced this up.
Well, and according to the latest polling, she's at 2%, Buscaino and Mike Fuhrer at 1%. That's why she was protesting with a megaphone outside Cal State LA, because they wouldn't let her on the stage.
Well, who knows? Maybe she'll be invited to the next one. So the first question that came up in the debate was about quality of life in Los Angeles, which has deteriorated to anyone with two eyes, two ears, and the ability to comprehend. Joe Buscaino got the first crack at the pinata. Here is what he had to say.
Our first question. Los Angeles residents are not happy. A UCLA Luskin Quality of Life survey released just this week found the lowest level of satisfaction in the greater Los Angeles area in the 7 years that survey has been conducted. Respondents saying they're paying more for gasoline, groceries, electricity, the rent's too high, they're worried about their family's health, concerned about their kids' education, homelessness and crime are big problems. Their confidence in public officials to solve those problems is down.
Now, John, I got a question for you, and I have only previewed this, and I haven't heard everything here. Will Garcetti get mentioned once in the blame for the quality of life in Los Angeles?
No. And if he did, he wouldn't show his full face.
I give him the full face.
If you're elected mayor, what will you do specifically to increase our satisfaction with the quality of life in Los Angeles? We begin with Mr. Buscaino.
Yes, quality of life. This is the core function of local government. And of the 15 years of LAPD, I was a senior lead officer for 8 of those years in my hometown in San Pedro addressing quality of life. And as mayor, you're going to see a city services that's automated. A city service is very similar when you order a package.
Wait, automated like a phone tree? We hate those. 311, well, is that now?
I guess. The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yes, everything in Los Angeles is going to India.
You understand and know when you're going to get that package, and if something's held up, we will hold people in City Hall accountable. And when we talk about quality of life, if you look at the homelessness crisis today, you see chaos, you see destruction and lawlessness. We need a mayor who has the backbone to address the quality of life concerns by bringing in more police officers on the street. And my jobs plan is simple. It's part of my public safety plan. Everyone, anyone asking for a job in the city of Los Angeles will get one. That person will be working with my office, the philanthropic community, the business community. That's a jobs guarantee plan. And that will address the quality of life in our city. And we will address, again, the most basics, very similar what we've done in my district. Tree trimming, street paving. But I agree with those respondents, because it starts with the top. You know, I have a number of motions that are sitting in committee that will address those quality of life concerns. I've been battling City Hall, whether it's banning RVs in neighborhoods, banning encampments next to schools, banning bicycle chop shops in our neighborhoods.
Mr. Buscaino?
And all those motions are sitting in committee today.
Is Buscaino making a mistake by not directly attacking any of the people at City Hall when he says he's been fighting them?
I'll tell you. And the other thing that popped out at me is he better watch out about talking about banning the chop shops, because he might offend the abortion ladies. Here's what's bad about him. He clearly has his head screwed on the right way. He understands that the city is screwed up. He understands what needs to be done to fix it. But since he comes from City Hall, because he is an elected official, because he has represented San Pedro on the LA City Council for, what is it, 8 years? He still has to defend the city. He still has to defend the services that Los Angeles provides its residents. So in one aspect of the argument, he's tearing the city down. In the other side of the argument, he's saying, but in my council district, everything is moving along like a Swiss clock. Well, both can't be true. The correct answer is everything in Los Angeles is screwed up because the people making the decisions have screwed it up, from the city council to the mayor to the unions, all parties involved. But he can't do that because of where his current job is right now. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, Randy, where you stand sometimes depends on where you sit. And he sits on the city council, and that is clearly turning into a huge problem for him.
Yeah, and if he wants to attack the members that are making it so difficult there, that would be a big statement. That would say something. Go after Meth Bonin. Go after Nithia. But the other problem that Buscaino has, and I feel bad for him for this, but every answer to every question is come to San Pedro, see what we're doing. Has he tried to go on the 110 freeway before?
There's nothing special in San Pedro. It's fine. I'm down there all the time at the port. They've got some great restaurants. But San Pedro has homeless people. San Pedro has graffiti. San Pedro has a lot of trash everywhere. There are potholes in San Pedro. San Pedro is not the promised land.
Well, that was Buscaino's crack of the whip. How about Kevin De Leon? Will he do any better?
Let's hear it.
All right, Mr. De Leon.
Oh, wait a minute. Before we get to this question, since this is an American election in an American democracy, can I hear the Pledge of Allegiance?
Madam President, today is Tuesday and time for the flag salute.
Mr. De Leon, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Thank you very much, Madam President. It would be an honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Indivisible, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Oof.
I get goosebumps every time I hear the pledge.
Okay, Kevin De Leon, your turn.
All right, Mr. De Leon.
Thank you very much, Mark. I think Angelinos have every right to be angry, because the more things change, quite frankly, the more things...
Quite frankly!
Oh, he's doing it too?
Quite frankly.
Because the more things change, quite frankly, the more things stay the same. We have a profound and indelible mark of shame. More than 40,000 people living in our streets.
What?
A double mark of shame.
We have
sounds like a new show on Netflix.
We have a profound indelible mark of shame. More than 40,000 people living in our streets, our sidewalks, our alleyways, in their cars. Let me tell you this. If we can build football stadiums as well as basketball arenas and shopping malls, we can sure as hell build housing for unhoused neighbors today.
I'm already sick of them.
Me too.
We have to build housing today, affordable housing, not luxury condominiums. That's what will happen under my mayoralship. I will build 400...
Wait, is that the new attack line on Caruso? He builds nice buildings, and we're used to squalor.
I'm going to build more slums.
I will build 450,000 units, and it will be affordable units for our very low-income, our low-income and middle-income families, the people who actually make this city grow. We have an opportunity to transform our economy, put everyday Angelenos back to work, a pathway into the middle class. That's why we have such a deep, profound sense of frustration. We can actually decarbonize and delink and decouple carbon from GDP, which is just a fancy way of saying we can reduce our toxic air pollutions and at the same time grow our economy. Real tangible jobs, jobs that can't be outsourced to a right-to-work state next door or offshore to Guangzhou, China, or Mexico. Jobs that are real, jobs that are labor-intensive, jobs that are tangible, that you can touch and feel, a job that can help you pay your rent.
All right, he's not improving our quality of life. I think we move on.
No, he's not. And let me tell you, if the answer to all of our problems is to build a bunch of tenements where people have to live with vermin, then maybe Rick Caruso isn't our guy. Maybe we should be kicking tires on Donald Sterling. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll give you Karen Bass's answer, Rick Caruso's answer, and Borat himself, Mike Fuhrer's answer. But we're going through the lowlights of this weekend's L.A. mayor's debate. The first question was about the quality of life in Los Angeles. We told you what Joe Buscaino had to say. We gave you part of, part of Kevin DeLeon's answer. He was rambling. Now it's Mike Fuhrer's turn, the city attorney.
This is the guy with the mustache with those commercials with the dog. That's all I can tell you about him.
Mr. Fuhrer.
Thank you, Mark. So I'm the one candidate who's going to all 101 LA's neighborhoods.
And nobody shows up at those events.
Yeah, you're also the city attorney who's in charge of enforcing many of these quality of life laws that aren't being enforced. So why don't you start with that?
That's right. Misdemeanors go to the city attorney's office. So if you commit a quality of life crime in the city of Los Angeles, you don't deal with Gascon, you deal with Fuhrer. And we've seen what it's been like under 8 years of Fuhrer.
I just finished this morning, actually. And Mark, I absolutely get that point, because everywhere I go, I'm hearing these things. We need to see tangible achievement from city government. And for me, that's been my watchword since I've been in elective service. When I was in the
That's right. He's been in L.A. or state government for the last 30 years. Doing
and
a great job.
Look how great it is.
When I was in the city council, for example, 911 was getting flooded with non-emergency calls because people had no idea how to get through for basic city services. So I started 311.
And 311 is so bad, people call 911.
And it changed the way service was delivered throughout our city for the most basic things, and it improved response time for emergencies. That's the kind of leadership I'll bring to the mayor's office on these issues, on homelessness. My first day, state of emergency. My first day, single official in charge who responds directly to me, consolidating all the authority of the mayor's office. First day, every GM who touches affordable housing or health or homeless housing in City Hall will be told by me to keep your job only if you cut the time it takes to cite and approve it.
Oh, yeah, right. Like you're going to start firing city employees.
I have a hypothetical for you. Let's say the impossible happens and Mike Fuhrer, the city attorney, wins the mayorship. On day one, does the FBI raid that office?
We're going to keep going on public safety. I was the first candidate to call to increase our police force, but I know enough to know that we can balance that with reforming the department at the same time, with community-based violence intervention and prevention programs. No slogans, comprehensive.
That was a slogan. Okay, we're done with him.
Yeah. This is the problem with a lot of these candidates. They have a position in government that allows them to raise money. People need something from them on the city council or in the city attorney's office or as a member of Congress or a member of the state legislature. So they can have fundraisers, they can go to the third house, they can get people to write checks. But having a vision for whatever office they're running for is not something that's connected to those donations. The people who are writing checks to him don't expect him to be the next mayor. They just need something from his city attorney's office. And so you end up with all of these ambitious wastes of space who are just looking for another office to run for because they're termed out of everything that they've already had. He can't go back to the assembly. He can't go back to the city council. He can't run for another term as city attorney. It's either move up or move out. What he's doing with this race is he's attempting to continue his self-preservation. But he has no vision for the city, and you just heard him explain that to you. Let's listen to Congresswoman Karen Bass.
Ms. Bass.
I think there's a lot of issues that go into what determines quality of life. And as I talk to residents around the city, one, it's certainly homelessness. It's the fact that people feel a level of despair because we see all of the homelessness situations just expanding and not really a solution. So clearly that is the number one issue that I will address. And then there's public safety. But there's also basic city services that people feel are really lacking. For example, all around our city now, you see graffiti like you haven't seen in many, many years. But when I look at the negatives, I also see that as an opportunity, and an opportunity for jobs, for example.
We're going to hire people to clean the graffiti off?
I love the fact that it would be beyond the pale to hire police officers to stop the graffiti artists from tagging up the city. But we can go out and hire a bunch of convicts to clean up the graffiti.
We have environmental goals that we need to accomplish in the next decade and a half. That's an opportunity for jobs. We can look at what the environmental pollutions are, look at the fact that we need to address our greening our buildings. That's an opportunity for jobs.
Okay, think about this, for example. She's taking a look at every disaster that we have in the city, and she's finding creative ways to profit from it. Okay, everyone's tagging up the city. Well, let's hire people to remove the graffiti. Everyone's polluting and the city is dirty. All right, well, let's hire people to clean up the dirt. It never occurs to them to stop the people from littering or polluting in the first place, just as it never occurs to them to punish criminals for tagging the city.
We could look at the graffiti as an opportunity for jobs. So I take the negatives.
Did she really hit graffiti twice?
You know, that's what the mob does. The mob looks at every situation that presents itself in society, and they find a way to take a cut. They try to find a lane where they can make a buck.
You know, your cigarette trucks are getting robbed by us. How would you like to pay us for protection so we don't rob those trucks?
Look at how
at this point, I would actually welcome a protection racket. At least with that, you get something out of it.
And especially to address income inequality, which I believe is one of the most fundamental issues in our city. Affordability. People can't afford to live here anymore. So what is the answer to that? We have to address income inequality. We need higher paying jobs. So we have our
issues. You mean like graffiti removers?
How about people cleaning up the trash?
So we have our issues, but I believe that we can conquer these issues. I also think it's in part our responsibility as candidates and how we conduct ourselves in this campaign. If you lead a campaign that says the city is going to hell in a handbasket and everything is awful in Los Angeles, then that just builds on the despair and the fear.
Ms. Bass.
I would rather...
Wait, you're not allowed to say that the city's a crap hole?
How could you fix the problems if you're not willing to acknowledge them? So what are you supposed to say? Everything in the city is working just fine and we're all so happy and the homeless are being sheltered and crime is going down and everything is nice and clean and taxed.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Is your low and traffic is moving? Is that what you're supposed to say?
She gets personally offended when Rick Caruso says these politicians are the reason we're here.
That promised land that she was describing, that's just in San Pedro.
You think Caruso will do any better on this question?
Let's listen.
Thank you. Yes. Mr. Caruso.
I think that was pointed at me, too. But that's all
no,
right.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't at all.
All right.
It was.
Count me wrong, then.
No.
Listen, I understand why people, like everybody else said, are feeling upset. I think the main thing they're feeling is unheard. I go around this city and people complain that they call for city services. They call for help when there's crime and nobody shows up. Crime in this city has spiraled out of control. It's just the reality. And people are worried about the safeties in their communities. And they should be. Just take a couple basic categories. Homicides since 2019, up 50%. Hate crimes in the last 2 years, up 100%. We have homelessness. As was said, 44,000 people living on the streets in the most inhumane way that has been allowed. Forbes did a study. The most dangerous neighborhood in America is Skid Row. The second most dangerous neighborhood in America is right next to it in downtown. And the homelessness has spread throughout the city, and crime has spread throughout the city. I have a plan to add more officers, 1,500. I tackled crime before. Bill Bratton and I got it down when I was a police commissioner by 30%. I'll do it again. And I've got a plan to remove the encampments off the streets so people can live their lives, run their businesses. 90% of the businesses in Los Angeles are small businesses, and they deserve a shot to be successful.
That's a different kind of answer.
It is a very different kind of answer, and it's a truthful one. You don't need new programs. You don't need to hire a bunch of convicts. You don't need to spend more money. What you need to do is you need to enforce the existing quality of life laws that are already on the books instead of telling the cops to turn a blind eye. And if you enforce those quality of life laws, you will then take the homeless off the streets when they break the rules, and you will force the state at a certain point to act. The state is the one that has the power to force these people into institutions and to build the institutions so they can get the help that they need and they're not living on the streets. And they refuse to do that. We have Care Court. We have all of these new programs that spend a lot of money and don't really accomplish anything. But if you're a city and you're Los Angeles, you're the 800-pound gorilla in Los Angeles County, and you start enforcing those quality of life laws, guess what? The homeless people are going to realize they're not welcome in LA. So they're going to pour into Santa Monica, and they're going to pour into Pasadena, and they're going to pour into Culver City and Glendale and all of these other cities, and then they're going to start going bonkers. And when everyone starts going bonkers and everyone starts calling Sacramento and telling them that the situation is untenable, eventually you'll get some action. But in the meantime, you don't have control over what Sacramento does. You don't have control over what other cities in LA County do. You do have control over whether or not your police department enforces quality of life laws. And so far, the cops have been told to stand down. Well, it's high time we tell the cops that we have their backs when they do their job. And Rick Caruso and Joe Buscaino are the only two that seem to understand that. And Rick Caruso is the only one with the money to make sure you know about it. Right now, we're going through the sound of the big L.A. mayor's debate over the weekend. And Randy, it wasn't all sunshine and roses. The fur did fly.
And this was all in a very weird question. The question being, well, more people want to get electric cars, but people that can't afford homes, they can't get electric cars because you can't put a charger in an apartment building. So how would you fix that, Karen Bass? And she decides to take a shot at Rick Caruso.
Many Angelenos, speaking of environmental justice and electrification, many Angelenos certainly want an electric vehicle, especially with gas prices, but live in apartments where there are no chargers.
If you live in an apartment, you cannot afford electric cars.
But I thought we were all supposed to buy a Tesla.
Sure. Give me the money.
As mayor, what would you do to address the need for more electric chargers and vehicles in communities where most residents do not live in single-family homes?
Well, once again, I think it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for jobs. It's an opportunity for small businesses. We need to, especially now that the price of electrical vehicles are being reduced.
There's another one where there's a problem in the city And her impulse is to find a way to cash in on it instead of fixing it.
In our infrastructure package that we passed in Congress, we provided money for Los Angeles to expand EV stations. I do think EV stations need to be placed in much more accessible
ways. Why are we building erectile dysfunction stations?
EV, not ED.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But let me just say, as an electric car owner, that doesn't solve the problem. People need to charge at their home, usually overnight.
But we also need to figure out how we are able to provide a subsidy or a tax rebate, something like that, so that people can be able to afford electric vehicles.
Oh, see, she is going to give us money for the electric cars.
She certainly likes to spend money.
But while we do that, we also want to get people out of cars. And we need to look at public transportation. We also need to look at safe bike lanes. I'm a bike rider. Don't want to ride in the city. Want to ride on the beach because we don't have the barriers to protect people. All we have is that white line in the street. But I have to use...
Oh, good. So she's in favor of road diets.
But I have to use the rest of my time because I have to talk to my friend over there, Mr. Caruso. Because Mr. Caruso talks about the four of us as though we have spent all of our time in office actually doing nothing. And we have worked day in and day out, and if you don't mind, I'll speak on behalf of my colleagues here, have worked day in and day out, especially to address homelessness. But Rick, you're the only one on this stage that actually has the personal wealth and resources to build affordable housing. And as far as I know...
Is she trying to say that Rick Caruso needs to house all the bums himself?
How many buildings has this man built? How many dwellings has he created? All they've created are programs that are costing us a fortune while the problem got worse. I wouldn't be patting myself on the back of the stellar job you've done on addressing the homeless crisis, lady.
Build affordable housing. And as far as I know, I don't know that you have built any affordable housing, something that you could have addressed while you're not even in office. But I just had to say that because you spend time disparaging people who are in office. And
no,
Karen's being a Karen.
Hey, Karen, stop being a Karen.
Let's hear Caruso's response.
Mr. Caruso, 30 seconds.
I don't spend time disparaging people in office. I have the greatest respect of public service. I think it's the highest form. I have served Tom Bradley. I have served Dick Reardon. And I have served Jim Hahn. So I have been in public office. What I disparage is elected officials that don't produce results, and things
get worse. Each one of us have produced results.
And things get worse under their watch. That's what concerns me. In terms of affordable housing, I've invested, along with my wife and family, tens of millions of dollars in areas that are underinvested to make sure people that at or below the poverty line do not end up on the street, do not need housing. I've worked those neighborhoods in Watts and East LA.
30 seconds.
My choice was not to be building units, was actually be preventing young families from ever ending up on the street.
And your 30 seconds have expired.
So there you have it. She used that, frankly, stupid question as an opportunity to tee off on Rick Caruso. And you heard his response. We'll have more sound from that debate later on in the program. It is 12:56. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.